Good evening and welcome to another episode of Agar Meditation. Today the topic that we are focusing on is taming the ego. Consciousness doesn't have name and form. Consciousness is never born, never died. But with the subtle imprints that it carries of all the lifetimes that it has led, and with all the karma that it has to drop off before it merges back into itself, consciousness once again takes the birth through the body, a human existence or an existence through another life form. But for the convenience of our understanding, let us focus on the human existence, because this is where we have the reasoning, we have the power to make a choice. So consciousness takes birth in the body, completely aware of its existence. This is the reason why when you hold a child, you feel so enlightened, you feel so happy, you feel so blissful. You feel completely alive when you hold a child, because consciousness is just being itself, completely resplendent, effulgent in itself, completely its whole. But as it gets familiar with its environment, with all the other forms and names of consciousness that exist around it, thrusting upon it the concept of name and form, consciousness begins to slowly absorb this new information. And with the mind slowly manifesting the belief that I am separate dawns on us. This new belief that I have a name and I have a form, and I have a birth, I have a death, I have an existence, I have a life, is born. And so the ego takes over, believing that this is the life that one has to live. This is whole. This is the only life I have. And so I have to make the most of it. But reality is entirely different. Consciousness is just going through a continuum. And for all the subtle imprints to be dropped off, it needs to take this birth where a body is given to it, through which an experience happens. And through all these experiences, the learnings happen. And through all the learnings, the tendencies get rubbed off, and consciousness just becomes whole once again, and then merges back in its existence. So the way we go about this whole journey of becoming the consciousness, reassuming the name, the nameless and formless divinity that we are, we have to learn to drop off everything that we have picked up. If we don't, then we just have countless lives to live. And God knows when this reminder will come again that we are consciousness. We are all just one, with many names and many forms. And we just are one, coming for a collective experience through our individual livings. And for this to accomplish, there are different practices that we need to do. And when we do these practices, then all the tendencies and all the habits, the behaviors that we have accumulated and assimilated in us, which constantly gives us this false reminder that I am so and so, from this country, from this language, from this race, and I'm different. It is like two leaves just joined together. One which is the consciousness itself, and the other is the attitude, the mind, the body, and the belief. As long as these two leaves are joined together, one cannot know that one is consciousness. The two leaves have to be just ripped apart. And for this, we need to work with ourselves. The attitude is where all the pain and the misery and the blame and the attachment and all the rhymes and reasons and complaints exist. But with consciousness, it is just one. There is no other. It is just empty. And at the same time, it is everywhere. So welcome to this journey of getting back to consciousness, going back to the source. And for this, we need to learn how to tame the ego. So let us start with our practice. The first practice is the Maypole meditation, which we do all the time. And let us ground ourselves and raise our awareness. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in a golden circle of light. The circle is on the ground and it's as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. In front of you, imagine a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. In your inner scene, see yourself walking up to this pole. Hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And walk back to your seat connected by this ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. The higher consciousness does not have a particular name or form. But if you believe that you have a name and form that you would want to give to your higher consciousness, please do so. Or else you can leave it as higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any clutter, any restlessness, anxiety, any frustration, any irritations, any agitations that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, in your memory, or any other. With every breath you take, receive this relaxing energy. With every breath out, release all restlessness, anxiety, frustrations, irritations, agitations. As you practice this relaxing energy, your breath will slow down naturally. Observe yourself as you're doing this practice. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the river its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, psychological, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. Let it travel through every part of your being. As you breathe out, let go of any pain and distress, any sorrows that you may be carrying in any part of you. With every in-breath, breathe in this healing energy. Let it fill your entire being. As you breathe out, let go of any pain, any sorrows. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative experiences, negative perceptions, negative imaginations. Everything that takes away your happiness, the feeling of being loved. Let it all go. With every in-breath, breathe in this cleansing and purifying energy. So every time you breathe out, let go of all pain, all sorrows, all distress, every other kind of experience or memory that prevents you from being happy right now. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energy. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any fatigue, tiredness, or even weakness, whether in your body, your mind, your emotion, your beliefs, your behavior. Wherever this weakness lies, wherever this tiredness lies, let it all go. You don't have to specifically identify where it lies. Just breathe in the strengthening energy and breathe out all weaknesses. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this love. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, or anything else that you wish to release to reclaim this love. Breathe in this love. This is your reality. This is where you came from. Reclaim it. come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. Everything that is not love, everything that is not joy, is the ego. Fear, anger, sorrow are all manifestations of the ego. Subjugating oneself, putting oneself down, believing that this will help us gain, trying to overpower another, believing that this will lead to victory, allowing oneself to be in a state of pity, believing that it will give us the required attention, fearing a consequence and allowing ourselves to fail are all manifestations of the ego. The more we align with the ego, the less is our opportunity to realize our divine selves. Just like we cannot see both sides of the coin at the same time, we just have to flip the coin. Similarly, you cannot live in the ego and at the same time be in consciousness, in awareness. One has to be willing to let go of the ego identification to be able to be the awareness of this, in the awareness of the self. There is a constant switch in the beginning as we begin the practice, where we keep forgetting that we are consciousness, we are awareness, we are divinity. The switching between the body, mind, ego and the awareness keeps happening in the beginning. A very few moments of awareness happens. That's because of the habit that we are living in. The habit that I am so and so, that I have a name and form and I have an existence. In fact, the identification is so strong that when you have to ultimately give up this identification and merge with consciousness once again, there is the desire to own the identification. The desire is so strong that we fear getting back to our divine selves. The fear is so strong that we have completely forgotten who we really are. And for us to understand this divinity, we have to tame the ego. We have to put it where it belongs. So we will do a few practices today that will help us understand how to tame the ego. And these practices will be done by invoking parts of our memory. And then work with the memory so that we understand that we are all powerful. So at this moment, you did the Maypole meditation. And with the Maypole meditation, you understood that the ribbon is something that can uplift your consciousness. In the previous sessions, we have also taught you several practices, or you have learned several practices of the hook connected at the top of the head, but which with a string that carries itself over a pulley. By pulling the string, you uplift your consciousness. So any method, whether you know or any method that we practice, can be used to pull ourselves up from this ego life that we are living to the divine self. All that we have experienced all these years, be it of anger, of sorrow, of fear, or any other emotion that we have gone through, they all happen only because we are ignorant of the fact that This is what the mind believes in, and this is what the mind wants to believe in. But we are not the mind. The mind is just a tool given to us to use. And so we must learn how to use this tool. We must prevent ourselves to be subjugated by this tool. It is like listening to the servant on how we have to conduct the house. The servant is in the house only to follow our instructions and to do likewise. Similarly, the mind is our servant, which has been given to us, so it can follow the instructions that we give and act accordingly. But because we wanted the servants to entertain us, we forgot to give instructions. We allowed the servant to create its own set of instructions so that it constantly entertains us. It's just like using your social media and forgetting everything about time and responsibility. It's just like watching television all the time, believing that it's entertaining you. There's no difference between that and how your life is. It's just one and the same. It's just that here, the eyes are the screen, the mind is the screen, and another plane, in the physical plane, you have the television screen or the mobile screen. The concept is the same, but just that it happens differently. And we just have to make sure that we no longer play out these unnecessary videos in our mindscape and no longer subjugate ourselves to this false identification. And instead, we make every effort to rise beyond and above this false identification and align ourselves with the reality. So here is the first practice. I want you to remember a recent, most recent experience that you've had, which has made you feel any one of these three emotions, where you felt sad, where you felt happy, where you felt sad, where you felt angry, or where you felt fear. Any one of these three emotions where you felt sad, where you felt angry, or where you felt fear. As you recapitulate this memory, I want you to just go back to that moment when it actually happened. I want you to imagine this scene playing out on a television screen or a projection screen. Separate this experience from your physicality. Watch it on a television screen or a projection screen. Imagine you are watching it. And imagine you, the character, also being there the way it panned out. Now, in your inner scene, I want you to hold on to your body that you see in the scene. I want you to hold on to the hair or the head and pull the person out of the scene and just throw him out and see what happens to the scene. Remove you, the person you see in the scene, by holding the hair or the head, pull the person out of the scene and throw him out. Or throw her out. What happens to the scene? Can anyone share a feedback? Can anyone give a feedback? What happened to the scene? Yes, Chetan.
Silence.
What happened to the scene?
Seen vanished.
Seen vanished. That's right.
Yeah.
So when you answer, keep it simple. It's good. Seen vanished. Anyone else who experienced similarly, where the seen just went away, or the seen just became diluted?
It became still.
You can still what? You can still what? Can you repeat, please?
The scene became still, or it lost its meaning.
It lost its meaning. Still. Right. Lost its meaning. This is what happens. In life, everything, all the anger, sorrow, fear that we experience is of the ego. Now, when you are watching this scene, you just picked it up from the memory, but when you were watching the scene happen, you were being the awareness where you saw that the body, mind, ego also was present in the scene. As awareness, you pick up the ego and throw it out. And the scene just loses its meaning. In everyday life also, we just have to do the same thing. In everyday life, you just have to pick the ego out and throw it. There is no need for you to fight, to argue, to win. There's no need. It's okay if another person's ego gets inflated. It's okay if the other person wants to win the argument. If the other person wants to prove you wrong, it's absolutely fine. That's because in the battle of the ego, the one who wants to win is the one who suffers the most. You cannot teach another person any lesson when the other person is not willing to learn. You're simply wasting your time. You are giving your ego a beautiful drama, and in the process, you are getting yourself absorbed into the drama, without realizing that you are getting into a deeper mess. It's going to take that much longer for you to get out of this ego trap. The whole of existence is not to experience any joy, not to enjoy. The whole of experience, the whole of the human experience is not meant to make money, to live a beautiful existence. That is not the objective. This existence is given to us so that we can release all the karma that we have accumulated, all the dirt and muck that we have accumulated over several lifetimes, to just leave it all here, to finish it, so that we can go back to the source. That is the reason why we are born. We are born to just empty ourselves so we can go back. If we don't empty ourselves, then we'll be sent back to empty ourselves. And this is why we come back life after life after life, wanting to just empty ourselves. But once in a thousand lifetimes, we remember, once in a thousand lifetimes, we remember that we have to empty ourselves. And if we did not do that work, it takes another several thousand lifetimes before we are reminded again that we need to empty ourselves. We create the opportunities. We are the ones who constantly remind ourselves through our own awareness or through someone else. But end of the day, we all need to independently and individually work with ourselves. So to tame the ego, it's important to not indulge in any quarrel, in any fight, in any fear. It's important for you to just face the situation, no matter how grave it is. When you face the situation, you're putting ego to the test. it will fail. But by giving into fear, giving into sorrows and anger, we believe the ego. We believe that the ego is more powerful than the divine self. We believe that the divine self can do nothing, whereas the ego has got the power of choice. But actually, the power of choice is invested in the self, and it is through the mind, by using the mind, that the power of choice is invoked. Mind by itself chooses to suffer. Mind by itself chooses fear or sorrow or pain. It does not choose happiness, because in happiness the mind loses itself. In happiness the mind no longer exists. In happiness the mind no longer has an identity. The ego always wants to live in the identity. So it must live either in sorrow, fear or anger. This is the reason why week after week we've been reminding you to rise above the ego. Let's do another simple practice, going back to one of the practices that we have already learned. Let's do another simple practice to rise above the ego. The more you practice rising above the ego, the more familiar you become with rising above the ego, the less familiar you become with living in pain. But when you familiarize yourself with living in pain, that's where you would want to live. That's where you want to exist, because you feel happiness, such an unfamiliar environment, such an unfamiliar setting. You go back to pain because that's where you've learned to live. But that is not a solution. It's not a solace. There is no peace in familiarity. No matter how unfamiliar peace is, no matter how unfamiliar happiness or joy is, eventually that's where you have to go. Someday, all the peace, all the troubles will run out, all the sorrows will end, all the anger will come to a stop, and peace will prevail. And on that day, at least, you will have to get used to peace. So why not now? Make the choice today to befriend peace, befriend love, befriend joy, because that's your reality. So here is another small practice. Again, let us invoke another memory from your recent past, which caused you anger, fear, or sorrow. Go back to the moment when you experienced this emotion. And I would want you to feel everything that you felt in your physical body. Be it something in the heart, be it butterflies in the stomach, be it stiffness in your jaw, in your neck, be it tightness in the abdomen, be it pain and discomfort in your eyes, in your temples, be it dryness in the mouth, wherever you felt it. And now imagine there's a hook on your head, and this hook is connected to a thread which goes over a pulley and comes right in front of you for you to grasp. And when you pull this thread, the hook will just uplift you, lift you away from where you are. It lifts you up. Now, as you're observing the scene, I want you to slowly pull this thread and see what happens to the scene. And what happens to all the discomfort that you were feeling in the body? You slowly and gently just pull this thread. Until you completely rise above the sea. Can any one of you give me a feedback? What happened when you pulled yourself up? Anyone?
I felt a lightness in myself and relieved of something very heavy, something, you know, I could let go of something.
Right.
That was the feeling I got out.
Right. So it's important for us to work with all of our memories. Now let's work with something that we can do in the present. So while all these practices, these two practices I shared, are to do with memories, we also need to work with the present, because the present situation, the day-to-day life, the live telecast, as I would like to call it, where we are being a part and parcel of the experience, we also go through several emotions of anger, sorrow, and fear, of despair, of aggression, of frustration, of irritation, of agitation, of fear, anxiety. But how do we overcome? How do we not be affected by what is happening? So this is where we practice what we call as the symbol of infinity. It's vertical. So there are two circles. One is the circle that we started off with the maypole meditation, the circle in which you are sitting. And there's another circle opposite your own, in which the experience or the other person will be placed or must be placed. These could be thoughts, these could be people who are talking to you, who are arguing with you, who are blaming you, who are judging you, or it could simply be your own judgment of people, of situations, of experiences. It could be relapses of memories that you don't want to live in. All of these can be put into the other circle. So now let us work with this. Now this is this happens in a real-time situation, which means that somebody is talking to you, or somebody is arguing with you, or somebody is playing the fool with you, somebody is wanting to cheat you, or somebody is just trying to judge a third person or blaming a third person. Whatever it is, such indulgences are really painful. So in such cases, you just practice the symbol of infinity. Or normally what we call as the figure of eight. So here you need to imagine a golden circle in which you are sitting in, and then another golden circle is opposite your own. And between the and from the center point between the two circles, we start drawing a neon blue light. You can, as I'm talking to you, you can imagine this. You can imagine, think, visualize, or feel. So we start drawing a neon blue light in the center of this golden circle. It's like the golden circle is a tube, and in the center of this tube you have a neon blue light going clockwise around the other person or situation, and going counterclockwise around yourself, forming the number eight, or this symbol of infinity. As you go on practicing this number eight, it cuts off your judgment of the other person, cuts off others' judgment of you, cuts off how the person says what he or she says, cuts off all those judgments, all those justifications, those reasonings. It just cuts everything off so you don't get affected by the situation. This is something that you can practice so you do not add to your kitty of misery. You do not add to your misery inventory, your sorrow, anger, and fear inventory. Don't add to that. You need to deplete it. You need to destroy it so you can go empty. So with your index finger, you can draw this number 8 around a memory that you have, or around a judgment that you're carrying. Clockwise around it and counterclockwise around yourself. You can draw this 8 on thin air, or you can draw it on your thigh, on the table, wherever you find a surface. You can just draw this figure of 8. As I am talking to you, I would like you to invoke the memory or a judgment, a thought, an experience, whatever that you can identify with, which has brought you discomfort of any sort, taken you away from your love, the happiness that you are. Put that thing into the upper circle, run the neon blue light clockwise around it and counterclockwise around yourself, forming the figure of 8. Just observe and see what happens to your judgment, or what happens to your feeling of being judged, feeling of being blamed. Work with it for a good 2 minutes, destroying the figure of 8. Would anyone like to share their experience with this practice? What happened to the memory? What happened to the judgment? Yes, Chetan. It's always you today. Yes.
Yeah, I guess first come, first serve. To me, the 8, like you said, the ego kind of disappeared. And 8 kind of becomes 0.
What happened to the experience?
Experience became more loving instead of ego-based.
Yeah, so you no longer had the kind of emotion that you had to start with.
Good.
Right. Like I said, always simplify. People who are new, people who find it difficult, should be able to relate to what we express. And so, it's our responsibility to simplify. Yes, Shilpa? Shilpa, can you unmute, please?
Yes. Good evening, Doc.
Good evening.
So there was a lot of anger in this memory. I was fighting for a cause which I felt was strong. But then after doing the figure of eight, the entire anger dissipated. I felt it doesn't matter. I mean, that's the thought that came to my mind.
Okay. What we must understand is, whatever we think is a cause, whatever we think is a justification, everything in the end will become irrelevant. It's better to make it irrelevant right now than make it irrelevant when we are leaving this world. There's no reason for us to get into any of these trivial issues. And the price we have to pay by getting into these issues is that we allow ourselves to forget our divinity, our reality, and we settle for the ego battles. And we believe that is the truth. We strengthen this false identification by getting into all these judgments and getting into all the false identifications. What is important is practice. Without practice, you will never be able to get out of these situations. And the moment you open your eyes in the morning, your practice time starts. And it goes on till you close your eyes at night. This is your opportunity to work with yourself. So from the time you open your eyes and until the time you close your eyes in the night, practice. Practice the tools that you have learned. That's the only way that you will be able to rise above the ego. That's the only way you'll be able to tame the ego. The desire is one thing you have to curtail. The desire to win, the desire to fight, the desire to quarrel, the desire for vengeance, the desire to reply, the desire to react, the desire to teach someone a lesson, all of this has to be curtailed, not controlled. And the way you do it is by practicing these tools. Thank you very much for listening to me. We'll upload this audio as soon as possible. We'd like you to practice and to uplift yourselves. I would like to reiterate once again that we have been conducting the inner work practices of removing all the negative impressions that you have absorbed, assimilated in this world. And by doing so, you just drop off tons of weight that you have accumulated that has been preventing you from rising above your ego. So you're welcome to take on these practices, and this is an offering that we are giving to members of this group. So please take this opportunity. Let us all collectively come together to practice more powerful tools that will constantly keep lifting ourselves up and away from all the heavy weights that we have absorbed, assimilated, and believed that these are necessary for us to live in. Thank you once again for participating in today's Agar meditation. Let's connect again next Saturday. Until then, have a beautiful weekend. Have a beautiful week ahead.